أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. It's a pleasure to be here on a Friday night. And inshallah this week and next week, as you heard the brother, we are going to discuss a few issues around the prime verse of Surah Al-Imran, Shahidallah annahu la ilaha illahu. This week, I have just jotted down a few points that I want to discuss about the verse. And then, inshallah, next week, we will delve into what meanings we can get from this verse. Now, as I said, this is a prime verse. Now, you may ask, is it right to talk about prime verses in the Quran? Aren't all verses of the Quran equal in terms of their nobility, in terms of their depth, their meaning? So, can we talk about prime verse in a surah, or prime verses in different chapters of the Quran? Now, apparently, some have denied that this is possible. Those of you who are familiar with Ulum al-Quran, and of course we have the Ustad of Ulum al-Quran, Abbas Ja'far here, are familiar with a book which is one of the seminal books in Ulum al-Quran by Jalaluddin Suyuti, Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran. Now, this is a beautiful book, regardless of what madhab Suyuti had. He is really, really, really scholar in this topic. Now, in his book, he has branched Ulum al-Quran in many different, about 80-something branches. And under his 73rd branch of Ulum al-Quran, he has a chapter on Fi Afdal al-Quran wa Fadilih, in the better and best of the Quran. Can we have such an idea at all? The better and the best of the Quran. Isn't all the Quran the best? Because it comes from Allah, it's all revelation. So can we say that some verses are better than other verses? Now he says that many people have rejected the idea. And among them is Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, the founder of the Ash'arite theological school, Abu Bakr al-Baqalani, Ibn Hibban, and many others. They have said it's impossible to say that some verses of the Quran is better than other verses, because all is from Allah. And then he says, for this reason, Malik ibn Anas had issued a fatwa that when you are reciting Quran, whether in Salat or anywhere else, it is not recommended that you repeat a verse because you like it more. Now, this, of course, this is now an issue of taste rather than an issue of the reality. If it is not allowed, well, it's not recommended, it's not allowed. It's not recommended that, for example, you come by a verse, you are impressed by it, and then you want to repeat it. Because all the Quran is equal, you shouldn't be impressed. Well, this is not in our hands. Sometimes you are impressed by some concepts, sometimes you are not. So the fatwa is not in place anyhow. Then he says that then there are others who say, yes, we can have prime verses. We can have better verses than others. And these people, among them are Ishaq ibn Rahway, the great muhaddith who was the teacher of Bukhari. And among them is Ghazali. And now I'll tell you, among them is Allama Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayhi. in the Quran, in Tafsir al-Quran, when you go to his Tafsir, you see that in some places he talks about Ghurar wa Ayat al-Quran, the prime verses of the Quran. And he has singled out about a dozen more, about two dozen of verses, and he talks about them in details, and he says that these are the prime verses of the Quran. And usually, when you go through these verses, you will see that these are the verses which talks about the very depth of Tawheed in different aspects. For example, one of the verses that he says is the prime verse is the verse in Surah Hijr, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. There is nothing in this world that is except the treasures of which is with us. And then we send it down with measure. And then he goes into details that, yes, whatever it is with God has no measure. Measure is something which is due to our limits. With Allah there is no measure. مَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. When it comes down, it finds measure. Otherwise, with Allah, it's limitless. Everything. You want wealth? With Allah, it's limitless. You want pleasure? With Allah, it's limitless. You want عِزَّة? وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ. And everything else. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ in Surah Najm. He says this is one of the prime verses of the Qur'an which says that everything returns to God. And then he goes into details how this happens. In Surah Nur, for example. Now, I just mentioned this in past, but when you read what Allah says, you say, this man is writing from Arsh. Really. I mean, he is so deep and so knowledgeable. From a different type of knowledge I'm talking. A different type of knowledge. In Surah Nur, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمُ الْحَقِّ وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ. On that day, everyone realizes that Allah is the Haqq, the clear Haqq. Everyone, kafir, mu'min, animals, the everything in the world, they realize Allah. Now Allah is, but not everyone realizes. On that day, they realize. Now, anyhow, he mentions that this Shahid Allah, he doesn't say it's one of the prime verses, as far as I remember. But he regards this as something which is deep in Tawheed. However, there are other things that I believe this verse is make us believe that this is one of the prime verses of the Quran. Now, Ghazali, Rahmatullah alayhi, you may say he's Sunni, why is it Rahmatullah alayhi? Ghazali was not a man of madhab, he was a man of God. Although Faisal Kashani mentions that at the end of his life, he became a Shia. So we take this from Faisal Kashani and we say Rahmatullah alayhi, because really he impresses people with his literature. Now he has a book called Jawahir al-Quran. Jawahir al-Quran means gems of the Quran. Now he points to the same idea that Quran has gems and has other things. So you have to, when you pass through the verses of the Quran, you have to realize that there are gems. And there are other things. This is an ocean from which you can bring out gems and different things. He says that, well, it is obvious. It is obvious that the verses of the Quran differ. Now, I will make a judgment which brings these two ideas close to each other later on. So, bear with me for a few minutes. Because those who say they are all equal, they are looking at one aspect. Those who say they are not equal, they are looking at another aspect. Now, Ghazali says, it is obvious. If you do not understand that there is a difference between Ayatul Kursi, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, wa Ayatul Dayn, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin faktubuh. O believers, when you want to lend something or borrow something, write it down. He says, is this equal to Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum? What meaning this is talking about? And what is the other one talking about? You're both from God, but there is a difference in the concepts. And then he says, if you do not understand, or if you do not, you cannot distinguish between Surah Al-Ikhlas wa Surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab al-Watab. Well, they are both Surahs of the Quran. They are almost the same size. But one say that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And what is the meaning of أَحَدْ? اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ. And what is the meaning of السَّمَدْ? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يَلِدْ. And the other one says, may the hands of Abu Lahab be cut off, and his wealth is not going to help him, and his wife is feeding fuel to this fitna. He says, you cannot really differentiate between the two. If you cannot, now this is his language, of course, when he speaks with vigor and with force. He says, if you cannot, and your imitating soul does not allow you, you do not dare to say that these are not equal, then let's listen to the Prophet himself, to whom the Quran was revealed. Didn't he say, Suratul Fatiha Afdalul Quran? Suratul Fatiha is the highest, the best part of the Quran. Didn't he say, Ayatul Kursi Sayyidatu Ayatul Quran? Ayatul Kursi is the head, the most noble verses of the Quran. Didn't he say, Yasin Qalbul Quran? Didn't he say, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad Ta'dilu Thuluth Al Quran? Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad is equal to one third of the Quran. So what does he mean by that? He means that there's a change, there's a difference between these. Now let me tell you one thing that you may benefit from it by practicing it. It includes this idea of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. There's a hadith by the Prophet, peace be on him, an advice to his daughter Fatima salamu alayhi. She says, Fatima, peace be on her, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَقَدْ افْتَرَشْتُ فِرَاشِي لِلنَّوْمِ. One night when I had just prepared my bed to sleep, the Prophet, peace be on him, entered my house. And he told me, يَا فَاتِمَ لَا تَنَامِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عَمِلْتَ أَرْبَعَةً. Ya Fatima, never sleep before you have done four things. Now, of course, because Prophet loved Fatima, peace be on her, very much, any time the Prophet found the opportunity or the right moment, he gave a proper and suitable advice. Now, he said, do not sleep before you have done four things. خَتَمْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. You recite the whole Qur'an. وَجَعَلْتَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ شُفَعَاءَكَ. And you make all the prophets to be your intercessors. شُفَعَاءَكَ. وَأَرْضَيْتَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ. وَأَرْضَيْتَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ. And you have made, you have pleased all mu'mineen from yourself. وَحَجَجْتِ وَأْتَمَرْتَ. And you have done hajj and umrah. Ya Rasulullah, how? Before I sleep, I recite the whole Quran, and I do a hajj and umrah, I make the prophets my shufa'a, I please all mu'mineen from me. Qala, the prophet, إذا قرأت قل هو الله أحد ثلاث مرات فكأنما ختمت القرآن. This is what I wanted to mention. When you recite قل هو الله أحد three times, it is as you have finished the whole Quran, decided the whole. Because قل هو الله أحد تعدل ثلث القرآن. It is one third of the whole idea Allah wants to convey to us. Zipped. Compact. One third. وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتِ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَبْلِ كُنَّا شُفَعَاءَكَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you send, if you greet, send salawat to me and the prophets before me, you have made us your shufa'a on the day of judgment. وَإِذَا اسْتَغْفَرْتِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضُوا كُلُّهُمْ عَنْكَ. If you do istighfar for Muslims, they will be pleased with you. All of them, from the time of Adam alayhi salam up till now, they will be pleased. وَإِذَا قُلْتِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَقَدْ حَجَجْتَ وَأَتَمَرْتَ. You say this tasbihat, you have performed the Hajj and an Umrah. Allah has put His paradise on faith. You see? Just giving it away. No one is going to take it from him. It's very easy. It's not even 3 minutes before we sleep. Three times, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّ عَلَى جَمِيلَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Was it 1 minute? Easy. Now the Prophet said, Fatima, do not sleep before you do this. And if you want to practice, it's very easy. As I said, Allah just wants to give away His paradise. And we are adamant that we don't take it from Him. Well, I'm not talking about you. Usually the people feel that these are very difficult things to do. Anyhow, let's go back to our discussion on prime verses of the Quran. Now, I said that the people who say that all verses of the Quran are equal are looking from one perspective, and those who say that they are different are looking from another perspective. It's all equal because it's all revealed by God. In terms of balagha and eloquence, it's all equal. Whether ayat al-Dain or the ayat of Surah Nisa, which talks about family relationship, or ayat al-Kursi, or qul huwa Allahu, they're all equal in balagha and eloquence. There is no doubt about this. And they are all equal in terms of nobility because they are revealed by God to the Prophet. However, we can say they are different depending on the concepts about which they discuss, they talk. The concepts are different. The concept of Tawheed is discussed in one verse. The concept of وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ, how to deal with thieves, is discussed in another verse. So the concepts are very different. If you still cannot accept this, as Ghazali says with his strong language, if your imitating soul still rejects to accept this, look at the creation of God. You cannot say that this creation has some sort of defect in one place and perfection in another place. It's all from God. It's all perfect. A cockroach is perfect. Jibreel alayhi salam is perfect. It's the creation of God. However, there's difference. From the point of view that all has got their existence from God, all are perfect in their respects, they are all equal. But of course, in terms of the strength of existence, what Allah has given them, they are different. So if we can have this in Book of Creation, why couldn't we have this in Book of Revelation? Anyhow, I think I am convinced myself now that there are differences in verses of the Quran. And this شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم is one of those prime verses of the Quran which deals with depth of tawheed in different levels. Level of God, level of angels, level of ulul ilm, and our level, because at the end, after there is shahada, now we will discuss this inshallah next week. After this shahada by God and angels and ulul ilm, then it says, now you say la ilaha illallah al-aziz al-hakim in your level as well. Okay, now before delving into meaning of the verse, let us examine a few traditions about the merits of this ayah, which tells us how different this ayah may be from other ayats, even in Surah Al-Imran. There's one, now this is a very interesting issue because it is related to Ulul Ilm. Now we Shia have our own view about Ulul Ilm. And now, because the ayah talks about Ulul Ilm, we have traditions that how Ulul Ilm are related to this verse. It's very interesting. Before that, there's a tradition reported in Majma'ul Bayan. And also the same tradition has come from Sunni sources. As-Suyuti has reported this tradition in his traditional tafsir, الدر المنصور في تفسير المعثور روى جعفر بن محمد عليه السلام إمام الصادق عليه السلام reported from his father from the prophet. So the hadith is سلسلة الذهب, chain, there is a chain for it, and that's why Sunni sources have related it as well. Now we Shias, we do not expect a chain from the Imam, because the Imam's word is like the Prophet's word. But when Sunnis want to report from them, they want a chain to the Prophet, and their chain is always centered to that. It goes through the Prophet from their fathers. قَالَ لَمَّا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ ينزل فاتح ينزل أو ينزل both of them are possible فاتحة الكتاب وآية الكرسي وشهد الله وقل اللهم مالك الملك تعلقنا بالعرش. Four sets of verses. When Allah wanted to reveal these four sets of verses, فاتحة الكتاب سورة الحمد وآية الكرسي all of you know وشهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو, and then this is verse 18, verse 25 of Surah Al Imran is قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء. When these verses wanted to be revealed, now this is a metaphorical tradition. Do not take it as real language. You have to understand it in a figurative way. تعلقنا بالعرش وليس بينهن وبين الله حجاب. These are the verses which takes all the veils. They clung to the arsh when they wanted to come to be revealed, and there was no veil between them and Allah. And anyone knowing the meaning of these verses, there would be no veil between him and Allah. تعلقنا بالعرش وليس بينهن وبين الله حجاب وقلنا يا رب تخبطنا إلى دار الذنوب وإلى من يؤسيك. You send us down to the house of sin and to the sinful. ونحن معلقات بالعرش وبالطهور. And we are so pure. We are clung to this arsh, which is there is no veil between arsh and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. we are here and you are sending us down. As I said, you understand this metaphorically. There is no conversation. فَقَالَ وَعِزَّتِ وَجَلَالِي. Now, again, if you want to practice something, practice this. This is a hadith which is reported by Shia and Sunni with good shape. فَقَالَ وَعِزَّتِ وَجَلَالِي. I swear by my honor, by my might, by my glory and by my might. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ قَرَعَكُنَّ فِي دَبْرُ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ مَكْتُوبَ إِلَّا أَسْكَنْتُهُ حَذِيرَةَ الْغُدْسِ. There is no one that recites you after every wajib salat unless I accommodate them in حَذِيرَةُ الْغُدْسِ, is the most prime place of paradise. I place them there. وَأَلَّا نَبَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ بِأَيْنِيَ الْمَكْنُونَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةٍ. And with me, my hidden eye that no one can see, I will look at him with rahmah 70 times every day. وَقَضَيْتُ لَهُ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعِينَ حَاجَةٍ أَدْنَاهَا الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And every day I will fulfill 70 hajah for them, the easiest of which is maghfira, when they ask for istighfar. وَأَعَرْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ عَدُوٍ. And from every enemy I will protect them. وَنَصَرْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. وَلَا يَمْنَأُهُ دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَمُوتَ. And nothing but death stops him to enter paradise. Now this is one hadith about the glory of these verses, these sets of verses. Anas ibn Malik, which was a servant of the Prophet for some while, says that Prophet used to recite this verse. And then he said that I heard from the Prophet says, whoever recites this verse and after it says, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. شَهِدَ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. These all witness and eyewitness as well, then Allah would create an angel for every word that for every letter. Allah creates an angel to do istighfar for him until the day of judgment. Now, let's come to more interesting parts, to Ulul Ilm. Shaykh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi has a book about Ghaibah. One of the first books written about Ghaibah is by Shaykh Saduq at the time of towards the beginning of Ghaibatul Kubra. Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'mah, it's a famous book. He says that he reports from Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Amri, the second ambassador of Imam al-As alayhi salam. The way the Imam was born, no one, of course, very few people knew even about his birth. Now, about the quality of his birth, how was he born? He says that when he was born, a ray of light spread from over his head to the heaven. And after this, he went to sajda. And when he raised his head from sajda, he said, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Now, this may seem very strange. How a newborn baby can do this? Now, apparently we have abundant hadith, one of which I'm going to recite for you now, that all a'imma had this sort of miraculous birth, right from the beginning, like Isa alayhi salam. All of them were like that, like Isa alayhi salam. Now, what sort of knowledge Isa was given at the time of his birth? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ
آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. All these he was aware of it. While he was a newborn baby, he was aware of the book which was given to him. He was aware that he is a prophet. He was aware that وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. He has ordered me to prayer and to zakat. He was aware of all this. Now, for our imams, did they say such things when they were born? No. No, they. One verse they recited. Now look, the hadith in Kafi, in Usul al-Kafi, Kulaini mentions a hadith which is about the birth of all the imams. This is very, very crucial. He says that, it's a very long hadith, I just mentioned the last bit of it, very last bit of it. He says, after the imam is born, he raises his head to the heaven. Apparently this is after the sajda. Then he says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. He says this. And when he says this, Allah will give him ilmu al-awwalin wal-akhirin. Apparently this verse is very, very crucial in the knowledge that Imam needs. And one other thing Allah will give him. And he will become liable for increase of his ruh on Laylatul Qadr to receive the other ruh. After reciting this verse. Now, these are mysteries. We do not understand this. Because we just think about our own babies when they are born, of course, how they behave. No, this is different from what the A'imma, how the A'imma were born. Because these are very, very special people. So, what I just wanted to establish before, inshallah, next week we discuss about the meaning of the verse, was that this is a very, very important concept which comes suddenly after some verses which apparently seem to be unrelated. Of course they are related. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Now, one other thing I mention and I finish about the cause of revelation. Now this is very interesting as well. When did this verse reveal? On what occasion was it revealed? Now, we have a great scholar, Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi. And he has son, Hisham ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi. Both of them were historians. And both of them are, well, Muhammad ibn Sa'ib is the one from whom Abu Makhnas takes his history. A Muwarrikh and a big Mufassir and a Shi'i. I tell you, you go and look at the early Mufassirin and those who were well adept in Ulum al-Qur'an, you find that 80% of them were Shi'i. This Qur'an is preserved by Shi'a to Ali alayhi salam. And there is scholarly endeavor, not just hearsay, no. They were real scholars in the field. And that's why everyone took from them, Sunni and Shia, regardless of their faith, they took from them. Everyone took from Hafs, from Asim. Now this Quran that we recite is from Hafs, who was a Shi'i. Everyone took from them because they were scholarly in their treatments of whatever they wrote and whatever they said. Now, this Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi, one of the most famous books in Asbab al-Nuzul is something written by Ali ibn Ahmad al-Wahidi, which is famous as Asbab al-Nuzul of Wahidi. Many of his reports are from this Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi. He says this wahdi in his asbab al-nuzul mentions a cause of revelation, an occasion of revelation for this from Kalbi. He says, Kalbi says that when the Prophet came to Medina, two of the Ahbar of the Jew, Ahbar were scholars, rabbis, not ordinary rabbis, of course, big guys in their faith. Two of the Ahbar came from Syria. It's very interesting. They came from Syria. They entered Medina without knowing what has happened. And they said, how similar this city is to the city described for us as the city of the last prophet. So, they said, we have to go and see. They found out that yes, there is a man here who claims to be the prophet of God. So they said, we have to go and hear from him. And they came to him, and they asked, as soon as they looked at him, they spoke to him, they found the features that they had seen in their books. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Those to whom we have given the book, they know him as they know their sons, because we have clearly mentioned his features. Of course, unfortunately, it is now lost. It was available at that time. So, they realized the features. They recognized the features. So, they asked him, is your name Muhammad? He said, yes. They said, do you have another name as Ahmad? He said, yes. They said, now they are assured. They said, now we ask you one thing. If you answer correctly, we believe in you. He said, what? Ask whatever you want. They said, what is the highest shahada to Tawheed? What is the most noble shahada to Tawheed? And then Kalbi says, on this occasion the Prophet recited, or it was revealed to him, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَأُولُو الْإِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ وَالْحَكِيمُ. As soon as they heard this, they said, we submit. This is the أَعْظَمُ الشَّهَادَةِ, what they call, مَا أَعْظَمُ الشَّهَادَةِ. They said, this is أَعْظَمُ الشَّهَادَةِ. They were scholars. They were ulul ilm. So they said, this is Azam al-Shahada, and they believe. What is the meaning of this Azam al-Shahada? How we can fathom, of course, this is something which is not in our capacity to unfathom, but how we can understand according to our own capacity, inshallah, we'll discuss next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin.